With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Wild roses as the sun begins to shine, sweet perfume in tiny jeweled caskets. If I thought you'd ever change your mind, I would take you where the music's sweetest, feed you winter fruits and summer wine, bring you happiness wrapped up in a box and tied with a yellow bow. I will bring you rainbow skies and summer rain to make your garden grow, and in the winter snow my songs will keep you from the cold. I will bring you flowers in the morning, wild roses when the sun begins to shine, winter fruits and summer wine, sweet perfume and color wine. If I thought you'd ever change your mind, if I thought you'd ever change your mind.
So Ilana Raine has actually mentioned that as well as a Twitter link, there's all sorts of other fantastic things there. The classic line, tune in for some mind-expanding and sci-fi loving live UK radio. Of course, you might be listening on a podcast, which is perfectly acceptable. Southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's all very confusing, but we are talking about the splendid scenario there. And, of course, Ilana Raine, I will remember to actually get to the digital analog binary as related to the creative process and consciousness. In fact, it's one of the things Jessica specifically said. I'm only coming on the show if we do talk about the digital analog binary as related to the creative process and consciousness. So don't worry, we'll return on that. But let's do some quick introductions. We have somebody who actually is still in the fabulous field that you launched at creatively, and he's done some sensational stuff, and I would highly recommend that you check out his website, which is nickelliott.eu. Nickelliott.eu, I think we're right. That, of course, is Nick Elliott, a photographer famed for taking photographs of such rock legends as Sir John Hurt. Trying to work on that one. Sir John Hurt. But other ace superb photographers. And you got into photography how, Nick? What was your path into photography?
My path to photography was really through my father. Actually, started at a very early age, and then the great David Bailey, who really started the whole thing for me.
Yeah. David Bailey, a fairly well-known British photographer, and indeed one of the key movers of the fabulous swinging 60s that we used to have over in Britain, which we'll hear about. And indeed, Jessica Ward back with us as well, who takes a fine photograph herself every so often, indeed featured on the front cover of the Southside Broadcasting Facebook page, which you can access through the Midweek Drive as well. So great stuff there. And of course, Kat. So that set the scene for the actual piece itself. I mentioned photography, Ilana, because before you became a fantastic filmmaker with a whole heap of other goodies, you were indeed a still photographer and creating all sorts of marvellous things, were you not?
Indeed I was. Hi Alex, and hi everyone in studio, how you doing?
We're fine, Ilana, and it's just great to have you back. It's all right, I won't talk over everything you're going to say, just keep on going dear, it's all fine.
You're very sweet, it's great to hear your voice again, happy new year. I was, and I still am a photographer. It's actually one of the key ways I mediate my experience is to put a camera between myself and whatever's happening now and then. But, you know, that's under control. Things are going well here in L.A. I'm excited to say that we're about halfway through. My co-writer and I, Brian Smith, and I are about halfway through the adaptation of the Ken Russell script, Penny Whistler, and it's really going very well. So that's great. And also, I just want to say I'm working now with a fabulous LA-based producer, and his name is Jimmy Holcomb, and he's with Opsis Entertainment, and he's just such a fantastic person, and he makes movies, and he's here in LA, so we're on track with both Out of the Everywhere and, you know, the Ken Russell script, which is obviously, you know, still in formation. But, you know, there's just a lot of compartmentalization that has to go on when you've got multiple projects going.
Ilana, you're
life,
female. You can do this. As a woman, you can compartmentalize and sort this thing through. As a male, I might as well just pack it in now. You know, so.
Well, from what I read, actually, females have, like, a lot of lead through when it comes to compartmentalization. So it is actually a little harder for us. Than the male of your species.
Yeah, species left you kind of very strange.
No, it's good. I mean, you know, it's it made me think about how we compartmentalize and what we have to do in order to make all the aspects of our life really be integrated, because when it comes to a creative process, it's often very common to think, you know, you need to be alone, and indeed you do need to be alone to write and to create, but life can get in the way, or other projects, or bills, and whatnot. So I began to think, like, well, how do we do this compartmentalization? In a way, it's like a binary code, you know, there's an on-off switch. If we can just put, you know, one element of our life in a box in our mind, and then if another one all of a sudden decides to intrude, we just switch off that box and go to the other box. So it's the on-off switch, the digital, versus the analog, which is more of a free flow. However, what's helped me realize this whole thing, and what's helped me be, like, far more productive with this, is that I went offline, like, completely offline, except for text messages, which I couldn't get away from, over the weekend and over the past 4 days. So, you know, no social media, nothing like that. And at first, it truly felt like a withdrawal, like I was cut up off from the mothership, just like, boom, totally cut off. And it was at that point that I realized, wow, this is actually an issue, that I'm constantly looking outward via this, you know, digital platform. And it got me thinking about, well, let's think about the old analog platforms. Let's think about phone calls, about letter writing, about, you know, just having a face-to-face conversation. And I know that that's a cliche, that's a trope. People say, go get off Facebook, have real friends, you know, do this. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this, like, completely as related to how we create, how we have the time and the stillness in our own head to make something that we then put out into the world for feedback, that it's not instant, that it's not this instant gratification. And I got to tell you, it was, like, really painful, and it still is, but I'm committed to do this until the end of this particular script. So I'm going to see where that goes. And I'm writing letters to a few people that I have.
Writing
really
letters?
Writing,
genuinely doing
it
via snail mail?
Like with stamps and photos. And, you know, I just want to see where this takes me. Because, you know, my characters in the sci-fi film, and the Ken Russell script is not a sci-fi film as much as I really, really wish it were. Mm. And in my head, it kind of is at times.
Ken
you
Russell
know,
does sci-fi.
Well, you know, he's gone. So
I
yeah,
know, exactly. Unlike Paul Michael Glazer, it has to be said.
So I'm at a slight advantage here that, like, I really could turn it into a sci-fi film, but I don't think the executive
Ilana, much as I love and appreciate you, there are certain things you've got to stay with the client's brief. You can't suddenly put in robots into a Ken Russell unless he's specifically there. I know he did Tommy, which is a rock musical, and he's done lots of Lives of the Composers, but ultimately I don't think Ken Russell will be that happy if suddenly you actually had a Deus Ex Machina, to quote a current movie, suddenly actually appearing in the whole thing. But who knows?
Right, do you think Ken Russell would be happy if we just had a cameo of Ken Russell as, like, a zombie that walks through the dining room? I mean, do you think he'd be into that? More into the horror zombie genre? Or?
Okay, let's Jessica, what do you think? I mean, if you let's put you in the role of Ken Russell. All right, get in touch with your masculine side here, Jessica.
Okay.
Imagine you've sort of you're a wonderful director who did some fabulous work, and you've ascended to a higher plane. You're looking at this current plane, and you've got a fantastic director called Ilana Rain. You're thinking, brilliant, it's Ilana Rain. She's directing one of my stories. It's great stuff. It's Penny Whistler. It's all there. Would you actually be averse to actually appearing as a cameo as a zombie walk-in Ken Russell cameo? Would you think, I don't know, a bit cruel? What would your thoughts be?
On the zombies?
Well, just as appearing as a zombie in a motion picture. Or zombified Ken Russell.
As a male?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be quite an enjoyable experience.
So you'd be cool with that?
Yeah.
Nick, you know?
I don't think he'd be mad for it, to be honest. I can't see him getting that vote.
Those little white hairs. I should really get online to Hetty Baines, I believe, who was actually once married to Ken
Russell. Okay, here's the real question. Yeah. Slow-moving zombie or fast-moving zombie?
Not fast. I don't understand fast zombies. It just breaks all the conventions. Like, they should be slow.
It has to be, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Living Dead here.
They're a little dumb. You can just, like, whack them in the head several times.
There are times, Ilana, I think you might be spending too much time in California, but, you know, it's such a thing as possible.
No. Let me tell you about California. Listen, my life here in L.A. is so mellow compared to what happens in New York. Let me tell you, it's like easy going. There's dogs, there's juicers. I mean, you know, it's just 70 and sunny most days. And, you know, New York, it's like galaxies explode and, you know, planets shift out of orbit.
So just like Lincoln, then, basically.
Relatives.
It's astounding. Cats.
Loving and demented.
As we just see, Phil Linus has actually said via, of course, electronic communication, my Wednesday morning is off to a joyous start thanks to the delightful madness provided by Alex Lefchuk and his team of co-presenters on his midweek drive programme for Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting. Listen along right now.
Oh, I know. Phil's been messaging me all morning.
Has he?
Yeah.
Well, so thank you.
Phil is a crucial part of my analog life for the next couple of weeks, because, you know, we're neighbors and we're directors and
exactly.
We fall in love with people and we can bond, and, you know, we're just, it's really good having a director, another director to talk about, because he gets, you know, he just gets it. I think he gets this whole creative process.
He's a wonderful person. Although I've yet to find out what is the collective noun for a group of directors. You know, is it an award of directors? You know, is it an academy of directors? You know, what is the collective noun for, you know, more than one director as you gather together? Anyway,
food for thought.
Right, I hear you.
Well, I mean, if we're going back to traditional routine, I mean, maybe if we're moving back to snail mail and writing, we want to sort of get grammar right as well. It's a minor point.
Absolutely.
Don't misuse those apostrophes. Nick, any questions?
Well, you know, letter is, you know, look, everything is for the record. As you know, my characters and Out of the Everywhere, they're monitors, and it's all for the record. Mm. And I just have this feeling, in fact, that, you know, radio, by the way, does fit into my whole communication.
Thank heavens for that.
Platform in terms of analog.
It is, yeah, exactly.
Going and going and going. But, you know, you think about the more, there's a little more permanence to letters, you know, if, you know, I'm not into the whole dystopian thing, but let's say there was an EMT pulse.
Electromagnetic pulse, in case you're wondering what that acronym was.
EM pulse, yeah.
It's very good. It's all right, Ilana. Sometimes I have to translate for the British audience. Don't worry. Electromagnetic pulse.
You know, all these emails would be gone. All these
Hopeless.
Gone. A letter might stay. And the problem is, you know, I you can just keep going on and on. Like, oh, I'm sorry.
What if it's already
letter
happened? What if it's already happened with previous civilizations? What if that's why we don't have any contact with Atlantis and so on?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Alice, all very deep before, and it's all going to happen again.
I feel as though I've stepped into Battlestar Galactica. It's wonderful. You know, it's 26 minutes past 6 o'clock here in London. Oh, in London? In Lincoln, England. Same time slot in London.
Again.
So easily confused. I can't let you go, Ilana, in more ways than one, without actually referring to one of your last posts before you actually decided to go into this self-imposed digital exile, which I do think was very important. January the 15th, it was posted at 9:14 p.m., obviously Pacific Standard Time. Now that I live here and actually see thousands of actual human women like that, No, some of them, go to work in the movie business every day. The fact that no women at all were nominated in original score, visual effects, sound mixing, cinematography, director, original and adapted screenplay is totally absurd and getting boring. And no actors of colour were nominated either. I respect and loved a lot of the work that was nominated. It's not about that. For whatever you think about awards and the subjective nature of how they are given, these particular awards have a very large impact on the lives of the people who get them. And that's why the Oscars are this town's holiest of holy days. And that's why this matters. It's a very important feast, but as you rightly said, Oscar voters overwhelmingly white and male. And I think it is, I mean, I don't know, what do we think? I mean, Jessica, do you think it's surprising?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, for years, listen, I resist any sort of, I resist victimology and marginalization. I don't believe in victimology, and I would never, I don't think of myself at a disadvantage because I'm a female director. But truly, it's, it is just getting boring and ridiculous that there are so many people making films with that are not white men. And I don't understand how we can just keep going with this notion that here are these awards that truly change lives and careers in an extremely substantial way. And that, you know, my next door neighbor is a producer. She's had films in Sundance. Another one's a screenwriter. Another one's an editor. I'm literally surrounded by women just like me who every day are just doing their work and trying to make it happen. So it just got to the point where I had to say something. And, you know, and I've even... sadly, I've gotten some blowback from some people saying, you know, this is, you know, just don't talk about this. It's meaningless. You know, you're going to alienate some people. And I think that's just baloney because it's time for a new paradigm. It's time for just opening things up a little to, and it's not even like we have different voices. It doesn't even matter if it's a woman who directs something. I mean, we have different things to say, but
well, let's face it, without Catherine Bigelow, I think James Cameron would have been a far lesser director, but I know that's a tension point of view, but anyway, you know, would Steven Spielberg have been as magical without Kathleen Kennedy? It's a different...
Well, the fact that Catherine is the only female director that most people can even mention, that's...
Fair point, exactly, So, Kat, your thoughts on this?
Well, what I find interesting, actually, there, Ilana, is that it's, you know, your post there has caused a lot of controversy, hasn't it? And it's really great to be able to speak out about such things and voice opinions that cause controversy and actually, you know, start to cause discussion, which is great. What's interesting, though, is that, of course, that's been publicised on a digital format, and that's allowed that publishing of that conversation.
But use it as a tool, as opposed to letting the tool control yourself.
That's right. But the downside of withdrawing from all that, of course, is that voice wouldn't be heard, would it, in an analogue world?
Well, I don't know. She could always get a loudspeaker.
Oh, no, listen, I totally agree with you, but what you must understand is that I love technology. I'm a complete technophile. I mean, this is my world. I love it, love it, love it. I'm just saying right now it's not serving my purposes for having to write an adaptation of a screenplay, for having to, like, fully be in this creative process when there's so many distractions from the digital world. I am all for using technology to disseminate information, to build community, to use it for a force of good and to do research. I mean, you know, it's just fantastic what the interweb is.
And it's a thing. It's a wonderful story. Nick, you're fully digital, aren't you, with your photographs these days, or do you still like the old traditional... share with us. I know we talked about this briefly before in terms of, do you like the texture of film, or do you still shift to digital? What's the viewpoint?
I've gone to digital. Yet one of the next projects that I'm going to be working on is going to take it right back to the basics.
I know.
To the whole beginning of the art, which is film, wet room, dark room, and producing what they now term as analogue photography.
Analogue photography.
Analogue photography.
Did he just say something in the dark room? Because, think there's... the dark room, you know, which I was trained in for my master's, you know, I ended up having to wear an organic vapors mask because the chemicals were so toxic. And I was had an allergic reaction to them. So, you know, like I said, there's many, many benefits to the digital world versus the analog world, but I just feel like we can't let it sweep us away to the point where we lose track of our conscious flow and what it means to just hold an idea to yourself or hold an experience, hold a moment that we experience inside to ourselves and see what that generates and see what output that can generate without immediately putting something out or without immediately looking for affirmation that what we're doing is good or interesting. And I'm just speaking personally because, you know, for me, filmmaking and movie making is a way for me to bridge realities. And, you know, we take the experiences we have in life, the people we meet in life, meaningful encounters, new friends, new experiences, and what we...
Ilana, it's going to be like an Academy Award-winning acceptance speech before too long. Just ease back. You'll be awarded it before too long. We know that. It's fantastic. Big hi to Penny Evans. She's listening now. She's had a bit of a stressful time recently, so we send out positive vibes to Penny, our Buxton correspondent. Great stuff there. Coming up next, Phil Leonis will be around as well. I know. We send that line out there. Ilana, we've been asking these last two questions. I still think we'll go back to the traditional ones before too long. But actually, Jessica, can you remember what these new questions are?
Have you ever been chased by a wild animal?
That's number one, Ilana. Have you ever been
chased? Have I ever been seduced by a wild
animal? No. No.
No, and thrice no.
That's a thought.
Not even, no matter how cute the St. Bernard happens to be.
But I have
no.
To say yes, but...
No. Have you ever been chased?
What? Chased.
Exactly. Chased. Yes. Pursued by.
Okay, I wasn't chased by a coyote, but I was stared down by one in Death Valley last year. Oh. And it was, whew, I mean, we locked eyes. I locked eyes with that coyote. And there was nothing else going on. It was just me and the coyote. I told him not to chase me.
Good point. And the next one.
Have you ever tasted sour milk?
Yes, I have.
There we are. So it's yes.
But it was before I poured it into the sink and saw that it was like clumpy. It ruined my coffee.
Yeah, not surprised.
It's
so good. Ilana, it's been fabulous. You will return in the very near future because you are one of our ace correspondents from California. We will speak soon.
Thank you, Alex. Looking forward to it. Have a great day or night, guys. Bye.
Thanks.
Operator, or could you help me place this call? Learn to take it well. I only wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real. But that's not the way it feels.
Late great Jim Croce. And operator, very analog this one. It used to be operators. That's not the way it feels, as opposed to digital switchboards. Jessica, director or truth seeker? What would you like to go for, director or truth seeker? It's going to be crucial. It's your first show back since your trip to Poland.
I'm feeling the pressure. Sort of thing, truth seeker.
You're going to go truth seeker because we still haven't got the collective noun for directors. So,
from LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world, it's time for the midweek drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only Phil Leonis.
Jessica, have you managed to get through The Truth Is Out There as yet?
Maybe not.
I thought I'd wait until this moment.
I left it in my flat, and
so it's still there.
It is.
Well, that's good. You know.
At least I haven't lost it.
What a treat!
Could be in Poland. You know,
could have been taken over. Could have been spreading the word out there.
Yeah.
But you know, Penny Evans is right. Things can only get better. Big believer in that. You got to be. You know, because it's Phil Leonis' time. Phil, how are you?
I'm excellent, Alex. Things can only get better. Wow, that's. I always like to think that things are darkest right before they get even more dark.
Oh, That's the kind of phrase that, you know, you'd say that somebody who smells flowers, they look around for the coffin, you know, one door shuts, they all slam shut, and other such negativity things. We say poor, poor to those, poor. You know, it doesn't help, doesn't sort of secure any sort of things from that point of view, especially if you're going to the metaphysical version of a digital dark room. But still, if there is such a thing. How much of the show have you caught, Phil? Or would we like to also say special celebrations to Lily Holliman, whose show, Shameless, and notice the way I'm saying it's Lily Holliman's show as opposed to the fact she's guesting on the US version of Shameless, is shortly going to be receiving its airing in the televisual world. So well done, Lily.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting that it makes me think that maybe you wanted to have Lily on instead of me right now.
Listen, don't go all Shane and Sheila Rimmer on us. We can't take that, you know. We need to work our way through this whole system. As I say, share with us, how has the show been from your perspective in Los Angeles?
I have listened to every moment of the show, so much so that I have a full page of notes, none of which I realize in this particular moment I can read. So I'm going to be going off what I remember, Alex. And first up, you know, the question, what do you call a group of directors, sort of brings to mind the old adage, collectively they don't add up to one idiot. That's the first thing. But I would say this, what do you call a group of directors? Trouble. So that would be the only answer I have. You know, I want to respond, though, to the heavy criticism being leveled at the Academy voting body, the membership of the Academy Awards, because just, I think it was last year, certainly the year before, everyone was hailing how much diversity the Academy was embracing. And now this year, suddenly they're all old white men that don't embrace diversity, and which put, of course, the first ever African-American president of the Academy in the awkward position of defending how the Academy voted. But I think it plays into the hands of the marketing departments of the distribution companies when people level the criticism directly at the Academy, because the Academy, as Dean and I talked about on the show this week, is just one small mirror to the movie business. Film critics are another small mirror. The box office is another small mirror. And the truth is, the vast majority of the films that were shoved down the throats of the voting body by the marketing departments that had the money to wage these very expensive political campaigns that go on during the award season were films that offered no diversity on screen or behind the camera. The obvious exception was Selma, which did get a Best Picture nomination, sadly did not get a Best Director nomination. So the two examples that I keep hearing are of Selma, that they were snubbed. The truth is, all the other movies that they were going to be able to vote for this year really were made by white men. And so to me, the problem is what films get into the conversation for awards. And like I said, a big part of that conversation is shaped by the money that is spent promoting these films. So if people want to see a change in this, we do have power. That's the good news. Seek out movies that are that feature diverse faces, that are written and directed and made by diverse voices. Seek those out. Spend your money on those. Let the powers that be know that these are the movies that we hunger for, and then those will be the movies that will get wider release and will get award campaigns behind them.
As ever, balanced, your routine. That's why you maintain your position as the chief summer upper from Los Angeles of the Midweek Drive. International connection. Well done. I think that deserves a round of applause. For
Wait, guys, yes. It's so impressive being the summer upper in the middle of winter.
Exactly. It's nicely put together. You see, we don't just
sort of... See what I did there? Yeah. See what I did
Genius.
There? I became the winter upper.
Exactly.
Okay.
Only in the Northern Hemisphere, of course, because as Jessica will be quick to point out, obviously in New Zealand now it's summer.
Summer, yeah. Down south.
Exactly.
Yep.
Or indeed
it's
around
also,
about...
It, it's also summer. It's not only summer down in New Zealand. Apparently, it's the summer in Canada from 100 years ago.
Unbelievable. Exactly. And so we go. So where else on the show do you wish to remind the listener we've been today then, Phil?
Well, I would like to remind both you and Alana that Ken Russell made Altered States. I think he has no trouble at all with any kind of science fiction scenario.
Fair point. Exactly so. And one which I'm almost ashamed to actually say, that William Hurt movie where people were stuck in an immersion tank simply to actually adjust their state was a whole routine. Interestingly, yes, as I say, Penny Evans would like to say it's Mike Dooley's thoughts that are keeping her going at the moment. Quite right, too. We go with that. Don't worry. It's okay. Sorry, I don't want to just simply sort of be the conduit to write out sort of correspondence between yourself and Penny Evans on the show, even though it's always nice to do that. It's a whole quality of things. Keep going, Phil.
Well, this conversation that you got into about compartmentalization was very interesting, and whether it is a feminine or a masculine trait, and it's something that's very important, I think, for everybody in the modern world, where we have so many things being thrown at us all the time. We have so many things on our to-do list, and we feel almost that we have to compartmentalize instead of realizing that instead of compartmentalizing the way that engineers, for example, do, the idea is how do you weave all these things the way that a gardener does? How can we become more conscientious gardeners? And that requires focus and care on what is in front of you, but it also doesn't mean that you should feel bad when thoughts of other activities or projects come into your mind. For example, when teaching meditation, the best teachers will say it's not that you banish all thoughts from your mind, it's that they become passing clouds. I like to think of it as bulletin board material. If I'm doing one task and suddenly thoughts of another task invade, I say to myself, okay, good, I'll stick that on the bulletin board and I'll come back to it later. Thank you for coming. Because it's only when we ignore all the other thoughts, when we try to banish them, that they get louder. Because anyone who is ignored will naturally start to raise their voice. The way that Shane Rimmer did, trying to be heard over the din in the broadcast booth.
Well, there we are. Or, put quite simply, what you resist persists. Just a thought there.
Wow. Wait. See, if we could plan this in advance, I could have just saved a 3-minute speech.
So, and a show which took us from The Rimmers to Magical Mozart by Moonlight, through Ilana Rain, and of course Anna Lewis in Jersey, even Cameron Tilbury recovering from his rocker. Any particular highlights? I mean, was it the return of Jessica? Because that was a personal highlight, obviously, as well as Nick. Aww. and Kat. Sorry, I hadn't forgotten your name there. A moment with that, with Sam Kaplan earlier today, with respect to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. And of course, we miss Emma Tenson, but she will return, so that's important. Tomorrow morning or midnight in Los Angeles.
So many highlights. I mean, obviously, getting to hear Jessica talk about her Poland experience was amazing. The classical music was incredible. Nick's excitement over learning that Shane had been,
that was my highlight.
He became a kid again. It was so awesome. But more exciting than all of those was a book idea was inspired for me. I'm proud to say that while listening to the show, I sealed the deal, I closed all the contracts, and I'm happy to announce that I am making a picture book. It's with Paul Michael Glaser. It's called Paul Michael Glaser, A Year of Not Being Dead.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I wasn't going to go down the line of Ernest Borgnine I did a few years ago. In fact, funny enough, Gene Bruce Scott is back with us on the show next week. Yay! Caitlin O'Shaughnessy from Airwolf, amongst other things, of course, Native Voices and more. So, Nick, any questions you want to put to Phil about Chile? Because you've been to Los Angeles, haven't you?
No.
Nick? You haven't?
No,
it astounds me, you know, man, with your connections and so on.
Most of my US connections are Nashville, Tennessee, Memphis, and that area here. That's where I kind of generally work. Haven't had the pleasure of LA or California. Oh. But I will. I will get there.
You've got an ace Chilpack Hollywood co-presenter. Stu, he's a wonderful show there.
Love America.
Don't, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad, Nick. I've been here more than 26 years, and I still haven't had the pleasure. So, that's unfair. That's not true, because I am neighbors and friends with Alana Rain, and that is nothing but a pleasure. And, in fact, it's a pleasure that I sought out in other cities where I was seconds away from getting to meet her. I felt like she didn't even exist, like she was Mrs. Columbo in the old Columbo series, where, wait, she was just here a minute ago, and then she didn't exist. And so I never actually got to meet her until she came to Los Angeles to co-present on my weekly podcast when we were doing the Mayan Podcast-a-thon. And so, yeah, this is one of the best things about Los Angeles is getting to form, you know, really meaningful relationships with some of the
brightest, and I like to feel the midweek drive was partly responsible for that, putting you both together after a fashion, really, that Louis Savvy and Cy.
You know, that's true. You really do like to feel that you're responsible. I agree.
Oh, there you go. Marvellous stuff. It's time for Mike Dooley.
The secret behind miracles is that the one performing them begins without any knowledge whatsoever of exactly how they will succeed. Yet still, they begin. When you move, I move the universe. Once again, taking action saves the day.
Or alternatively, actually take baby steps in the general direction which you wish to travel. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing so much today, it's unbelievable, but still, there we are. Life could do this. Kat, would you like to... What?
When you move, I move. When you move, I move. It sounds like the universe is stalking me. That's what it sounds like.
It's much more than that. Coming up, as far as Siren is concerned, at top of the hour, we have the news. And then, of course, it's Siren Lifestyle with Craig Wiley, doing all sorts of other wonderful things there. Jessica, last two questions for Phil Dennis, please.
Okay. So, Phil, have you ever been chased? I say chased, not seduced. By...
I don't know what she was on.
By a wild animal.
Well, I would never be seduced because the thrill is always in the chase. And, yes, I'm chased by my feral cat, Fuzz Aldrin, on a daily basis.
Oh. And the other... Sorry.
Don't worry, it's okay.
Somebody's eager. Please. Oh, I've actually forgotten. Oh, have you ever tasted, is it off milk?
Or sour milk, off milk.
Sour milk.
Oddly enough, surprisingly enough, since being asked that question last week and responding in the negative, I have not gone out and changed it and tasted sour milk in the 7 days.
It's astounding.
No. So that's a big no. Yeah.
I'm not sure how long that'll actually last, really. I can see that the questions being replaced by the old traditional ones before too long, but it might happen. Kat, have you enjoyed your time on the show? Obviously, Sound and Nick's Vision will be appearing and emerging as a podcast and also as a live piece in the very near future. So have you enjoyed the experience?
Oh, it's been absolutely wonderful, Alex. Thank you for having me on the show.
To carry on down the way to Cambridge back again. And, of course, Nick, lots of exciting things there, including hopefully visiting you in Cambridge and doing all sorts of things as well.
Yeah, we're going to catch up and do a project, I think, this year, aren't we? Do some OBs and...
outside broadcasts.
That's it.
It's like EMPs. You know, we don't know where we're going. Ostrich. Outrageous suggestions taken readily in courageous hands. Foom. Do you remember Foom, Phil? There's a question you wasn't expecting. Foom.
Was there a question in
that? Yes, Foom. I thought you might actually have sort of been a sort of an aficionado of Foom, actually. Friends of Old Marvel. It was the Marvel Comics fan club set up by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby back in 1973. Oh, I might have been a Foom person, but maybe not.
Oh, man, I want to write a book about them so that I can call it Foom the Bell Tolls.
And that, okay, it's, you see, you know, who needs to have a witty repartee soul when you've got Phil Dennis? Oh, it's been fabulous. Phil, you will return. We're going out with Then Jericho and The Motive. It's time to say happy trails. Jessica, have you enjoyed being back on the show?
Of course.
Have you missed us, Jessica?
I've missed you dearly.
Because Phil's regularly been saying, you're alone again, Alex. You've just had to limp through a show and all the ship's deserted. Are they ever coming back? I said, hey, she'll return. So we had faith.
And here I am today.
Exactly. Yeah. And might be with us again tomorrow. Brilliant stuff. So there we are. That's a wrap to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis. By the way, Phil, did you catch Cameron's tune today?
Absolutely. It was outstanding. Oh, and him feeling under the weather reminds me that in addition to wanting to wish him a speedy recovery, I, too, want to wish Emma Tinton to feel better forthwith.
There you are. Yeah. You see, it's all good in the end. It's Then Jericho. It's The Motive. To Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Stephen Leatherland, Shane Rimmer, Sheila Rimmer, Ilana Rain, and, of course, Phil Linus, and you, dear listener, thank you for being with us. It's time for us to be out of here, so to speak, with the news coming up, and then more goodies on Siren 107.3 FM. To the studio team, Kat, to Nick Elliott, and to Jessica Ward, thank you. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You see, he got there in the end. There was no pause, but he got there in the end. Show joy continues ever onwards because, Nick, you want to give a mention to a couple of Norfolk listeners?
Yes, I do. Two very special friends, Barry and Jackie Hooks, that I know are listening in from North Norfolk's darkest place.
Barry and Jackie Hooks from North Norfolk's darkest place, we salute you.